Okay, and it's a very good morning to RBN listeners across the United States and Canada, as we usually say, and maybe in the UK here. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name, and we're here today on a wet Saturday in Wales, the UK, on the Saturday, the 3rd of September, 2016. We're in the run to Christmas now. Isn't that shocking? But people may have heard my hoarse, monotone voice on John Stattmuller's program last night, which I got done on a wing and a prayer, and a lot of technical gremlins. Thankfully, it wasn't my end. But anyway, these things happen. But as I say, our usual agenda, I try to vary it as much as I can. I know my stuff is, the agenda of this program is but serious stuff to very depressing to horrendous, but we try and make some other interesting things in with it. And usually we're talking about SSRIs, GMOs, vaccinations, water wars, fracking, and the cashless society. But last night I was talking a lot about it, today, because there's a lot of news coming out about the global warming war. So it's a little bit lighter to deal with, but it's also quite incomprehensible, and again, full of scams and lies and tyranny. There's a fantastic article here written by a guy called Dr. Sirkos, S-I-R-C-O-S, a scientist who's telling the truth. And he's got a big, big photograph of the cover of Time magazine, right, with a penguin on an iceberg. And it says, how to survive the coming ice age, right? And I'm going to go through his article here. It's quite a good, fast-moving article about the Northern Hemisphere, which I've been saying for ages. And people more totally qualified, more than I am, telling the truth, know that we're in a cyclical change to a mini ice age. It happens every 180 years. Sometimes it's severe, sometimes it's not so severe. But this time there's a 3-in-1 triple whammy effect. The Gulf Stream has been internally damaged by the Gulf oil spill. The Gulf Stream is slowing down and losing its strength. The solar outburst of the sun, solar activity is a lot less. And this cyclical cooling of the Northern Hemisphere is going on at a stroke. And I was gazing at this Time magazine, pity I can't show it to people. Time magazine used to be middle of the road, but the date of this article is the magazine cover, when you look at it closely, I said to have Time magazine come around and now telling the truth, because they're a shill New World Order magazine and currently trying to get Hillary Clinton elected. But the date on this magazine, when you look closely, not the article but the magazine outtake, is very clever for this guy to use it, is April 8th, 1977. Right? 33, nearly 40 years ago. And they were discussing these things honestly then, and scientists were doing real research and pointing to the future. But not on their life today would Time magazine publish an article about the coming ice age. And it's real, it's serious here in Northern Europe. But anyway, we'll get into the article briefly. Climate, if it changes at all, evolves so slowly that the difference cannot be seen in a human lifetime. That was the opinion of most people and nearly all scientists through the first half of the 20th century, but no longer. No matter how many times the press and the government have screamed at us that we are living in a warmer world, nature is screaming louder than that it is getting cooler. On Wednesday night, this is recently, August the 17th, the mercury in the Netherlands dropped to 0 degrees. Oh, that's midsummer, August 17th, the mercury dropped to 0 degrees. This is unusual because never anywhere in the country at this time of year has the temperature dropped to freezing. According to Weather Online, in the period from 20th July to the 20th of August, 1 month, there has never been reported frost on the ground. But it said record cold in parts of Europe, some of the coldest in 100 years, some of the coldest ever. This is the reality of August 13th, 2016. Summer snows fell in Sweden, and the city in Saxony experienced its coldest temperature on record. Is it just Europe that is dramatically turning colder because of a slower Atlantic current, or the entire world? Well, he goes on to say, this same guy, Dr. Sirkos, just after the peak of the 11-year solar cycle, combined with a record warm El Nino, what we should now expect are rapidly declining global temperatures until we reach a cold bottom in 2030s or later. Man-made CO2 has very little to do with the global temperatures, which is now obvious because we are at record highs in CO2 levels, yet temperatures are now heading down after basically no measurable global warming these past 18 years. And another site, just to reference this, I mention it all the time, climatedepot.com, run by Mike Morano, is one of the best laid out quick reference sites on all this propaganda, exposing the propaganda on global warming, which they've now changed to climate change because they can't prove global warming. Cooling from the weakened El Nino is now rapidly occurring as we transition towards the likely called La Nina conditions in early fall. Okay, the latest chart above, well, it shows this very good chart, we'll say what it's on it, shows a large reduction in the northeastern Pacific warm blob and the huge growth in the North Atlantic cold region, sources cropped from UNICEF's website. The chart above shows two major developments. The northeastern Pacific warm blob has shriveled away massively. Two, the North Atlantic cold spot has exploded in size and now a vast region of cold sea surface temperatures. Or the northern Pacific and the North Atlantic is getting much colder, that's what he's saying. Even the mainstream news channels are getting into the act. The Earth is likely to get relief in 2017 from record scorching temperatures. Well, there's parts of the world heating up, but not overall. According to the government, July was the hottest single month since records began in the 19th century, driven by greenhouse gases and the El Nino event warming the Pacific. Well, they're taking selective temperatures from selective parts of the world. Even in cities in London and Europe, they've moved the temperature sensors onto warmer buildings and narrower streets, which gives a higher temperature. That's the kind of skullduggery that's going on. In a welcome break, a new annual record is unlikely in 2017 since the effect of El Nino, a phenomenon that warms the eastern Pacific, can disrupt weather patterns worldwide every 2 to 7 years. This phenomenon is now fading. This article is not written very well. It's a bit convoluted. Anyway, Dr. David Evans, a former, these are the people I and others, Richard North, were gunning for, and Christopher Booker, about the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change in Norwich in England. They were caught red-handed fiddling the figures, trying to prove that there was global warming. Dr. David Evans, a former climate modeller for the government, Government's Australian Greenhouse Office, says global warming predictions have been vastly exaggerated in error. He said there is no empirical evidence that rising levels of carbon dioxide will raise the temperature on the Earth's surface. As fast as the UN Intergovernment Panel on Climate Change predicts, that was a major scandal two or three years ago here, and there were the lies that put out by the BBC trying to defend them, that was just a minor error. It was a catastrophic major error. In 2009, I began to write about global cooling after a year of careful study. This got Dr. Sirius saying, of careful study to see which way the weather was really blowing. The wind of the weather was blowing. Part of my reason for investigating the subject is the fact that increasing cold would represent a causative factor in the creation of disease and does not have a lot to do with survivability. NASA already knew the true fate in 2006 when they reported the sun's conveyor belt was slowing down. Well, we had two shocking winters here in Britain in 9-10. The year running over into 9-10 and 10-11, Christmas, New Year, those 2 years were two shocking winters here, the worst in 100 years. And people still, we've had relatively mild ones in between, but we're getting this long, long winter running into spring with no growth until April. That's what's going on here in the UK. It was from 2008 that we that the handwriting was on the wall. In May of that year, the National Snow and Ice Data Center, NSIDC, predicted that the North Pole would be ice-free during the 2008 melt season because of global warming. In February 2009, a year later, they admitted that they had underreported Arctic ice extent by 193,000 square miles. The other laughable thing, they were putting out these photographs of polar bears standing on a small ice pack floating down the seascape. Well, the joke is polar bears can swim 50 miles in a day. And all these children go to school saying, oh, the polar bears are going to be wiped out. What a piece of propaganda. They blame the error on satellite problems and sensor drift. Well, the sensor's on the ice, the sensor moves in. Moreover, the ice melt during the Antarctic summer, October-January 2008-2009, was the lowest ever recorded. Well, the Antarctic in the south, the ice pack is massively increasing. And a bunch of scientists who went on it, they cover it here further on an investigation trip, got trapped in the ice, and the Russian icebreakers had to come out to free them. And that was quite a job. Having already reported record cold in Antarctica this year, the Russian installation in 2010 and the German Neumayer station down there recorded the lowest temperatures ever. Since starting operations 29 years ago, the mercury dropped to minus 50 degrees C, which is something else. I have been myself in minus 48. I'm just getting my screen back up, I hope. We're back up, we're on. Having already reported record cold in Antarctica this year, the Russian installation has reported these low temperatures. The latest report says that the tip of the Antarctic Peninsula has cooled over the past 15 years. These words were reported by a global warming publication, which still exists, that global warming is functioning. Less than a year ago, NASA said that the increase in Antarctic snow accumulation had begun 10,000 years ago. But anyway, this article goes on and on and on. But just one other small thing. In New Zealand, in the beginning of August, the temperature in the city of Queenstown, South Island, dropped to minus 6 degrees in the month of August. And we've heard of snowfalls in northern Europe and high ground in August as well, making one of the lowest levels recorded in the last 100 years. The next morning, the temperature dropped to minus 7.9, etc. But anyway, just come on to the piece where the scientists who were trying to prove global warming, it was hysterically funny to see it there last year. Their research ship got stuck in the ice that they went out to prove wasn't there. It was absolutely stunning. So just to say then, this gentleman's name is Dr. Circus, and his stuff is on the internet. Global warming, a filthy scam. No doubt about it. I say we do have we have an email address for this program. It's bardenreport@gmx.com. bardenreport@gmx.com. And I'll email you back if you email in. At the end of this hour, I'll give out the temporary phone-in number we have at the moment. And Mike Adams in fairly quick off the mark. Natural News is saying, meet the climate change bigoted professors who banned information debate. And it's calling Rebecca LaRoche, Wendy Harrigan and Eileen Skakel, no thinking allowed. What he's saying here is, if you're curious what real intellectual bigotry looks like, look no further than this story from the College Fix, which details the anti-science absurdities of today's bigoted college professors. Well, a lot of these universities have signed up with the multinationals and governments to put out propaganda. It's shocking. According to the report, three professors co-teaching an online course called Medical Humanities. I don't know how you can co-teach an online course, but there you are. Massive prayer, because you can't be questioned too much on that kind of a situation, called Medical Humanities and the Digital Age at the University of Colorado Springs, recently told their students via email that the man-made climate change is not open for debate. Right. That's it. So how do you do scientific research if it's not open for debate? This is how dumbed down their universities are getting. In invoking their intellectual bigotry and anti-science stance, these three female professors cite the widely debunked false claim that 97% of climate scientists agree on climate change. No, they don't. That statistic was fraudulently derived by a biased researcher handpicked a few dozen email responses from an informal study that carries scientific weight. Well, 5 or 6 years ago, there was this whole debacle came at these climate conferences. They started quoting a team of 2,500 people, so scientists. Well, the majority of them weren't the scientists. They were journalistic writers writing for magazines that wanted to hear about global warming. About a third of them were scientists, and some of them were not trained in scientific and meteorology. So there was only about a quarter of them who were gathered up to write the document at the time. Apparently, teaching classes at the University of Colorado does not require you to actually know what you're talking about, because 97% claim it is the perfect example of politically motivated scientific quackery that now that's now accepted as consensus reality at the American zombie universities. Well said. And he's quoting from A Disgrace of the Profession, or a book called, there's a book I call A Disgrace to the Profession. An opinion survey of Earth scientists on global climate change was conducted by Margaret K. Zimmerman and published at the University of Illinois in 2008. Aside from his support from, another professor, Padomi, a man offers, claims the imprimatur of settled science. 97% of the world science supposedly believe in catastrophic apocalyptic global warming. Well, that means 97% of them are no use. So you're dealing with 3% who might be able to tell you the truth. That's the shocking extract from this, that the percentage derives from a survey conducted for a thesis by this guy Zinnemann. Anyway, I'll just see if there's any more useful points on this. Only 6.2% came from Canada. Of the responding scientists, 96% came from North America. Well, that's bigger straight away. Only 6.2% came from Canada. So the United States is overrepresented within that North American sample. 9% of U.S. respondents are from California. So they'd be New Age. They'd be with Al Gore. So California is now overrepresented within the U.S. sample. It has over twice as large a share of the sample as Europe, Asia, Australia, the Pacific, Latin America, and Africa combined. Now you have to rig a report. Of the 10% of the non-US respondents, Canada has 62%. Oh, I see. If you look at it that way, not content with such distorted sample, the researchers then selected 79 of their sample and declared them experts. Oh yeah, and we're not allowed to discuss it. Yeah, that's great. Of those 79 scientists, two were excluded from a second supplementary question. So 75 out of 77 made it through to the final round, and 97% were found to agree with this consensus. This is like a children's game at a party. I mean, imagine educated university and scientists behaving like this. This has gone beyond all. Why go to university? So this is a very Michael Mann reconstruction, just as a couple of Californian Russell Collins can determine the climate for a millennium. So a couple of dozen Californian scientists can determine the consensus for the world. Isn't that wonderful? Nonetheless, the compilers of the survey also invited comments from respondents. So they actually asked for comments and published them in the appendices. In terms of specific scientific material, the hockey stick attracted, that's the graph, three comments. One blatantly positive, the other two not so much. Three. This is hysterically funny, really. No debate allowed. Your evidence doesn't count. This is the next heading he puts on this. What's really interesting about all of this is how it's yet another example of the radical left's demand for cognitive obedience and absolute conformity. Well, the left-wing liberals always deny the facts when it suits them. That's an indelible trait of the left-wing in politics, in any country you care to choose, because they have this religion of New Age beliefs. But anyway, we're coming up to the first break. And just barely hear that music, Sam. Just about. And we should be back in a few minutes.
Extendivite. A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-9-9-9.
1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make Protovite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for Protovite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. Protovite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking Protovite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, Protovite, for giving my life back.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Okay. Coming back in again, and we're just talking here about hope I'm not talking to myself today, but me and Sam, but this climate change hoax and the barefaced, absolutely criminal falsifying of facts and denying facts and not allowing people to examine the evidence and not allowing people to debate. This is what's going on in the universities. It's just shocking. And we're talking about the University of Colorado here. And this header, I just repeat again, no debate allowed, your evidence doesn't count. What's really interesting, Mike Adams is saying about all this debacle, about all of this, is how yet another example of the radical left's demand for cognitive obedience and absolute conformity. Without a doubt, the global warmists are all left-centre New Age people, almost without exception. Then there's the useful idiots in between who don't know any better than to follow them. Bigotry is anything that disagrees with their tolerance. Yeah, that's right. Which is, of course, politically motivated quack scientists. Like, if you discuss, as we know in America and Britain, immigration, you are racist. Imagine just discussing it. Thus, if you walk into a class being taught by Rebecca LaRoche, Wendy Hagren, or Ellen Scahill, who he's quoting here, and you utter a fact-based statement such as, hey, the temperature data being reported by the NOAA were artificially altered to introduce temporal bias, you are automatically considered a bigot and probably a racist. You'd probably be excluded from the class. On the other hand, if you walk into and obediently agree with every science lie you are taught about climate change, GMOs, vaccines, fluoridated water, chemotherapy, you will earn an A and be patted on the back for your cognitive obedience and conformity. That's very good. I must underline that. It's worth quoting. Rewarded for your cognitive obedience and conformity. That's a cracking sentence. Mike Adams, he does come out with some good stuff. All debate and dissension also banned online forums is going on here. I know I'm giving this a lot of time today, but I just have to go through this piece. There's so much propaganda coming out of it. And then we have the G20 meeting this week, which will deal with economic matters, but they'll be going on about this as well. The professors also note that This ban on debate extends to discussion among students in online forums, reports the College Fix. I don't know what that is. Moreover, students who choose to use outside sources for research during their time in the course may select only those that have been peer-reviewed by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Well, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is one of the most disgraced scientific data collection operations on the planet. And that is just based in Britain here. And their data goes into UN, and that becomes UN worldwide policy. They were caught red-handed fiddling the statistics on a shocking scale there 2 or 3 years ago. The Intergovernmental Panel, IPCC, it's known as. In other words, your science doesn't count. Only our own in-house bogus science is the official narrative which shall be accepted in this quackery course. Yeah, he's superimposing this on. Wholly consistent with the intellectual bigotry and PC censorship of the radical left. You aren't even allowed to talk about climate change in an online forum unless you 100% agree with the professors. Well, we're talking about going to learn. It's, you know, you're going to be brainwashed. These are the brainwashed. They've changed the titles of these universities. And that's the core of political correctness, changing the definition of words. It's just shocking. It says, oh my, when I was in college, this is Mike Adams saying, I remembered observing that a college lecture is the process by which the notes of the professor are copied to the notes of the student without passing through the minds of either. But now it's even worse. The very process of engaging your brain and thinking critically is condemned at the University of Colorado. Intelligent thought is bad. You are supposed to be conformist, idiotic things, and that demonstrate your absolute leftist idiocy, such as waving giant black, I won't say what he says here, in people's face, as a bizarre form of anti-gun protest. Yet it's happening on the UT campus in Austin, University of Texas, I think that is, and the brain dead students there call it blocks, cocks, not blocks, because they stupidly believe that they can stop rapists by carrying concealed. This ridiculous, what he's getting into here. Universities are no longer institutions of higher learning. They are obedience training contest centers for best suited for dogs. Yeah, the Pavlovian principle of training a dog. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour break, and we should be back in a few minutes.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Okay, and we're coming back in again, and just continuing on this piece. It's quite a long piece, but it's a massive expose of the hardcore, really bigoted lies going on in the University of the United States and Britain and everywhere else. But it's hardcore here, and he's quoting the University of Colorado of the appalling carry-on. And further on here, I'll read them out. He gives the name of the three female lecturers who were in charge of this subject about climate change and global warming. And he gives their email address and their phone numbers and says to contact them. And it's on his website. But anyway, he's saying here is a header. Universities are no longer institutions of higher learning. They are obedience training centers best suited for dogs. Now we really get to the crux of all this, which is that people like Rebecca LaRoche, Wendy Hagrin, and Eileen Scahill are not teachers of any kind. They are cognitive dictators and obedient trainers whose skills are best suited to training animals, not people. Hey, I hear the circus is hiring, he's saying as an aside. Perhaps these three professors, the professors, mark you, should take their brain-dead climate change course material to the local dog pound and demand obedience from the residents there. You can't really give all the dogs A grades to reward their obedience, but you can always bring some doggy biscuits to bribe them. Yeah, very good. The idea that human students are actually paying the University of Colorado to be treated like intellectual dogs is quite telling. If you can think for yourself, you are apparently not welcome at the University of Colorado. In fact, you will be asked to leave the classes. Well, that's about the mentality of Hillary Clinton. He comes to a Clinton analogy further on in this article. And says, welcome to the University of Colorado, Department of Intellectual Bigotry and Cognitive Conformity. Since these university college professors have declared nothing is open to debate other than their prognostications of obedient conformity, I think it is highly appropriate to ask Natural News readers to email these people and the links are below. But thus I offer you their emails, etc., etc. You might start by sending them links to the Climate Change, Climate Depot, yeah, sure, and Natural News. Then again, you're probably just pissing into the wind, he says, and these three professors have already declared themselves to be cognitive idiots who are incapable of neuroplasticity. I presume that's brain function. He explains that learning anything new or expanding their knowledge in any way whatsoever. One of them also has a PhD. I didn't realize they were handing out PhDs for he's swearing here. Effing study, effing category. Anyway, I won't read that. They also wholly misunderstand the very process of science. By definition, science embraces debate and discussion, and the very process of science depends on the overthrowing of incorrect notions with new expanded realizations supported by observational data. Sure. Well, Mike Adams has credentials as a scientist. He really has. And he has one of the best laboratories in America as well, from the things that he tests in foods and chemtrails, etc. NOAA faking satellite temperatures data is not consensus science. It's just consensus fraud. And the next header, we're finishing off this article soon. Indoctrination centers to produce intellectual idiots who will vote for Hillary Clinton. Yeah, the global warming brigade, they're all in her camp. Not even going to vote for the Green candidate, apparently. How much do you want to bet that all three of the intellectually bigoted professors are voting for Hillary Clinton, a globalist criminal and traitor to America? Sadly, American universities have largely devolved into indoctrination centers, tuition-charging re-education camps, whose goal is to prevent human beings from learning how to think for themselves. Well, that's like Common Core in the junior schools, same thing. From this, no real scientific advancement can be achieved, by the way, if science becomes nothing more than coerced obedience to a politically expedient selection of false ideas, then it ceases to be science altogether. Indeed, much of what the college students are being taught today in the name of science is nothing more than sheer dogma, delusion and deception. Or, as I am increasingly inclined to water out of the sheer explanation, well, he's used a couple of swear words here, effing crap. Then again, how else are the scientific dictators supposed to make sure people keep injecting their children with mercury, eating unlabeled GMOs, and paying billions to Al Gore while guilt-tripping all humans for exhaling carbon dioxide? Yeah. And speaking of CO2, I bet these three brain-dead professors aren't even aware that CO2 is the elixir of life for plants and speeds global reforestation, food production, and plant growth across the globe. Plants are starving for CO2, and lowering CO2 in the atmosphere is cruelty to the planet and all ecosystems which depend on the photosynthesis, which is, of course, virtually all natural ecosystems. And finally, he says, oops, forgive me, I was actually citing real science there for a moment, and I apologize in advance if I violated your cognitive safe space, he's, you know, saying to these professors. Clearly, I need to attend the University of Colorado to be lobotomized by crazed college professors whose goal is to make sure all their students graduate from the university with brains that are just as damaged as their own. Wow, that's some piece. Very good, Mike Adams. Absolutely first class. And related to that, because we're connected to it directly here in RBN, Vincent Finelli had a blast of chemtrails. Plasma dropped from a C-130 over his farm in Missouri. And it says here, mysterious chemtrail, this is from January 2016, mysterious chemtrail fibers dropped by C-130 over Arizona, covered up by the mainstream media. And in early November, Chino Valley, Arizona residents Maria Snow and Gary Gunnels made a discovery which they said frightened them. According to published reports, and there were few, they witnessed what appeared to them to be 50 to 60 foot long raindrops, which were solid in nature, falling in clusters from the sky after seeing a C-130 military transport plane and two escort aircraft fly overhead. As reported by the news website IntelliHub, the pair were of a mind to gather some of the samples of the fibrous material, that's exactly what Vincent Finelli said, which was found in stringy blotches clinging to fences, plants, and other structures throughout the bucolic landscape of the region to have them examined by experts with the hope of figuring out what it was that was dropped from the sky. Snow, the website reported, had even decided, that's the name of the website, I presume, even decided not to touch this, oh, that's the name of the guy, Snow. Mr. Snow decided not to touch the strands with the bare hands and collected them up in white pieces of paper. Not long after, Snow decided to contact her local news station, KPHO, a CBS affiliate, and asked them to investigate her discovery. A few days later, a station sent a reporter, Greg Argos, to look into Snow's findings and get her story, including the part where the fibrous material appeared to be distributed overhead from a military transport aircraft. However, what happened after CBS 5 interviewed Snow may shock you. IntelliHub reports it's called a biodegradable gauze. Yeah, that is the description we have. The roughly 3-minute video piece produced by KPHO radio station reported Snow's details and included some quotes from her regarding her discovery. The report noted that the fibers gathered by Snow, which were thicker than a spider's web and very strong, were taken by the station to Grand Canyon University Forensic Science Laboratory for testing. According to the report, Melissa Beddo, director of the university's forensic science program, tested the substance samples under 40 times magnification. Though at first the samples stumped her, she eventually concluded that they were like biodegradable gauze from nearby cattle farm. But she said they were comprised of a mixture of wheat, gluten, flour, and bacterial antibiotic. As further reported in IntelliHub, that conclusion did not satisfy the curious. Well, that was a lie. However, after the local news piece aired, Snow and others were skeptical of Argos' findings. Snow was soon after urged by Al Dicchio, who appears in the documentary film Shade, the Motion Picture, a film about covert and sinister bioweapons testing programs, to contact IntelliHub News and get independent testing of the samples done by a reputable lab. And that was just what Mary Snow did. On November 22nd, Snow contacted IntelliHub's Shepherd Ambellus crew. That's the name of a person, I presume, for another attempt at finding out what to do next. Since the Chino Valley resident remained unconvinced of the local media's finding, Abella said he advised the same thing to Sissio. Get some independent testing done. I'm trying to come down to the actual testing you've done. Snow and Gunnell sent several of the fiber samples to a credible laboratory located in Redding, California. That's what I was telling Vince Fanelli a few months ago. The work order for the samples numbered 14K0279 and was dated December 4th, 2014. The order, this has been going on now for 3 years, it would appear. The order number, etc., etc., they both came with this guarantee. All analyses were performed under strict adherence to our established quality assurance plan. Both said that solid fibers were submitted by Mary Snow for general testing. I'm just trying to find the last few paragraphs. Astonishingly, both tests conclude that both samples indeed tested positive for three metal analytes, aluminium, barium, and strontium. These substances, commonly known by dedicated researchers, to be found in persistent contrails, i.e. chemtrails and or geoengineering. Well, it's called flash and flare. In wartime, these C-130s drop this kind of stuff to confuse radar systems, but it's totally toxic where it falls on the ground. But it's aluminium, barium, and strontium. And strontium is a really dangerous one. But the rest of the mainstream media thus far has ignored the story. Of course, why wouldn't they? That is just classic behavior, because we're warned off it. But and again, there's one other article, Chemtrail News articles, and for information, just trying to get my screen back up. Yep. Well, no, these are a list of relevant stories in actual news. There's a long list of indexing, but again, connecting up these pieces we're doing today, climate change. Absolute propaganda, pollution, planned pollution of agricultural lands with these chemtrails. And they said the state of Illinois sues pharma giant that paid off doctors for product promotion. What's new? I worked amongst those shills many years ago. Just a brief article on this, another case against the pharmaceutical industry. The Attorney General for the state of Illinois has filed suit against a controversial pharmaceutical firm for allegedly using deceptive marketing practices that included paying an indicted physician thousands of phone for phony speaking events in order to help sell its signature pain drug. It's cancer pain drug. As reported by ProPublica, the firm, the name of the firm is Insys, I-N-S-Y-S, Insys Therapeutics, was one of more than 400 big pharma companies that have made payments to such doctors. But its shenanigans have reached much more attention. To be sure, it is unusual for pharmaceutical companies to pay. it is not unusual for pharmaceutical companies to pay doctors with histories of illicit behavior for consulting with them or speaking about their products. A ProPublica study recently completed found that more than 2,300 physicians with discipline records in five states have received payments from pharmaceutical and medical device firms since 2013. Again, that's an ongoing permanent situation. But according to investigations in a number of states, the business mode Insys, INSYS, relied upon saw huge payments going to doctors who prescribed their drugs most frequently, even if they had histories of disciplinary actions or outright criminality. Yeah, no problem. You're dealing with criminals in the pharma industry. The payments were largely related to unpronounceable names, fentanyl-based drugs, SUBSYS, approved for the Food and Drug Administration for the treatment of cancer pain-related illnesses. And it said, Insys was the subject of a previous media reports in 2014 and 15 by CNBC and the New York Times. In June 2015, a Connecticut nurse pleaded guilty to taking kickbacks related to speaking payments she got from Insys when she was the top prescriber of SUBSYS, that's the name of the drug, to medical patients in the state.
Sure.
Paid to prescribe. It's like, as I said before many times, most of the doctors' practices in Britain are 7, 8, 9 doctors, and they have a dispensing pharmacy in the practice as well, which should not be allowed. In February, a sales representative in Alabama pleaded guilty to fraud charges, while in April, a district manager and sales rep pleaded not guilty in New York to all charges in relation to kickbacks to providers who were also involved in speaking arrangements. In the most recent suit filed by Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan in Cook County, the state wants to impose financial penalties on Insys, INSYS, pharmaceutical company, while barring the company from selling any products in the state. Madigan says that the company regularly marketed its mainstay pain med for off-label use, such as treating chronic migraines. Yeah. Oh my God, like snake oil salesman in the Wild West. Indeed, instead of building relationships with physicians who treat patients with cancer, the company instead directed its promotion and marketing in Illinois into high-volume opioid prescribers who are not oncologists or pain specialists who treat cancer, says the suit. The highest volume prescriber for Insys was Dr. Paul Madison, who wrote 58% of the SUBSYS prescriptions in Illinois. My God, 58 of the entire state of Illinois. Though he treated few, if any, cancer patients, Madison was indicted in late 2012 on federal charges of making false claims by billing insurers for procedures that were not performed. The indictment says the Insys sales reps were aware of Madison's indictment and were also aware of his questionable prescribing habits. Yeah, well, it goes on and on. Stick with them. And just one other two paragraphs to finish up on this. The suit states that in August 2012, the company then CEO Michael Babich received an email from a sales rep who said that Madison ran a very shady pill mill, and only accepted cash. Well, they'd give him cash. In addition, the suit alleges that Madison, this wonderful doctor, Dr. Paul Madison, basically just shows up to sign his name on the prescription pad, if he shows up at all. Probably the nurses just write down the prescriptions, like a pre-signed checkbook. Then in October, the same sales rep sent another email stating that Madison had called him personally to say that he was really under the eye of the DEA and he had planned on getting patients started on SUBSYS in Indiana. For his part, Babich appeared unconnected, relying that he was very confident that Dr. Madison will be your go-to physician person. what a saying. But blatant criminality in the pharmaceutical industry. Absolutely blatant. on every level, as I say. We're living, repeating myself again and again and again, we're living under a multi-layered criminal syndicate at every level of life. Anyway, we're coming up to the third break. I'll reach you back in a few minutes.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Okay, we're coming back in again, but we're still staying on this dreary subject just to finish out the connected things to climate change. Chemical spraying, and this is Zika virus. And again, Mike Adams has a good article here. South Carolina succeeds in nuke test of aerial chemical weapons of mass destruction. Food supply, pollinators instantly obliterated by the millions. And what he's explaining that to say that each day as I witness the sheer chemical suicide of modern humanity, I seriously ask myself how much longer human civilization will survive. The latest demonstration of humanity, truly idiotic self-destruction, was demonstrated earlier this week when Dorchester County, South Carolina, decided to conduct daytime aerial spraying of a deadly chemical weapon that is known to destroy the very pollinators necessary to produce 30% of the food in America. The experiment, which consisted of carpet bombing the county with NALED, a neurotoxin insecticide, was widely successful. I don't know what they mean by successful. Scheduled for daytime release when pollinators are foraging for food, the chemical weapons deployed obliterated honeybee pollinators on contact, resulting in a devastating apocalyptic scene that looked like it had been nuked, said a co-worker of Flowertown Bee Farm and Supply, which lost 2 million bees. Crikey. The excuse for all this was, of course, that the county is spraying to kill Zika mosquitoes. This is total journey. A massive medic, they released these maliciously all over the place. The Zika virus, I think, is owned by the CDC. A massive medical hoax perpetrated by the vaccine industry to con the U.S. government out of billions of dollars in research money. The entire Zika virus hysteria, of course, is yet another quack science hysteria campaign being waged by the CDC, just like the H1N1 and bird flu scares of years past. Well, there's people connected with RBN that have the residue of those flu. And I'm going to talk to them later today. And it all serves a very important purpose. It allows governments to test the deployment of chemical weapons right out there in the open. That's what this is a dry run for, all under the justification that the chemicals are needed to kill the Zika mosquitoes, which they released in the first place. No one resists mass chemical suicide, you see, as long as it is perceived as being carried out to protect the public. Oh, yeah, we're here to protect you. Now you're starting to really see the real agenda behind the Zika hysteria. It's not just to spread fear and promote more vaccine quackery. It's also about allowing and testing the deployment of nerve toxin chemicals, weapons that can be that can devastate local food supplies and therefore control human populations. This is unreal. Like George Orwell's 1984 to the power of a thousand. The weaponization of food supply to control humanity. I spoke about this at length in my recent mini-documentary, Mike Adams, Exposing the Government Parasite Scam. Governments routinely use food and starvation as tools of social control to demand political obedience from the impoverished masses. This is all hinges on the simple but powerful principle. The less food the people have, the more easily they can be controlled. But anyway, we'll finish up this on the other side of the break in a few minutes.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.